When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by the SF LGBT Center, a place for the community to connect to opportunities, resources, and each other to achieve a stronger, healthier, and more equitable world. Find out more at sfcenter.org.
Welcome, everybody, to If These Ovaries Could Talk.
Hi, guys.
Who are you?
I'm Jamie.
I'm Robin.
And we're your hosts.
Do you think people know yet?
That we're the hosts?
No, that you're Jamie and I'm Robin.
Oh, I don't know.
I hope they do.
I think they can tell because you have an accent.
Oh, with the accent.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Okay, listen. So we have a very exciting show today. We recorded our friends Lisa and Jennifer. First thing you're going to notice is...
When we did this interview, I had a little bout of laryngitis.
A little bit.
The baby really took it out of me.
She's got the whole like Demi Moore thing going on.
Yeah. So just, you know.
But except less like a gremlin. That's
Listen with an open mind, please.
So Lisa and Jennifer, this is a great story. I mean, when I say this, it's going to sound like it's a real downer. It's trying to make babies, cancer, death, more cancer. But I'm laughing.
We're laughing.
But
it's
I'm laughing
not
because
at all.
They laugh. And they're, I don't want to give away too much, but these two ladies are heroes. Like how they fight through this and make their family is inspiring.
Mm-hmm.
So
very much so. Very strong women.
Yeah. Let's just get right to it, right?
Bring them in.
Okay. Welcome, Lisa and Jennifer. We're so glad you guys could join us today. We're very excited. So we want to start with you in the way that we do with everyone. We want you to give us your elevator pitch about your relationship.
Well, Jennifer and I met in 2003 online when a lot of people would not admit to meeting online.
I disagree with that. I had no problem with admitting it, but...
Well, I mean, it's you can admit it or not, but it's true. So, yeah, we met online on a dating site. Yeah,
Planet Out.
But we're talking about before, what's the swipey one that I went?
Oh. Tinder?
Oh, yeah.
No. There's no Tinder. There's no Grindr.
There were no apps or mobile devices
right.
at the time.
Exactly.
You had to actually log on to a website on your desktop computer.
And
back
upload
when Friendster
photos.
Was around.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It was work. I mean, you had to think of like a witty email to write, and there was no swiping. So Jennifer and I, we emailed for a couple of weeks. Uh-huh. We made a date, and then Jennifer dumped me about 2 days before the date.
It wasn't like a
It's not
dumping.
Your turn yet, Jennifer.
Sorry. Because we're a little bit like those couples in When Harry Met Sally, the ones who talk, where one of them talks over the other.
Yeah,
all
that's
the time.
Your elevator pitch right there.
There you
we're Jews.
Yes. So I didn't dump her. I said that I was seeing someone else and it had gotten more serious and I didn't feel comfortable going on a date with someone else, but I would still like to meet her, you know, as a friend, which she was like,
it was a really lovely rejection.
Were you heartbroken?
I was disappointed. Uh-huh. Robin actually named her the one that got away. And I was very cordial though. And I said, thank you for letting me know and good luck. I had lots of friends at the time. So, and then about 3 weeks later, an email popped up in my mailbox, lo and behold, from Jennifer, begging for me.
I don't know if it was that pathetic.
Robin read it.
So I guess that other one didn't work out.
No, the other one didn't work out. And I wrote that email. It was maybe a paragraph, but it took me 2 hours on the phone with my ex to like compose it and get just the right sort of self-deprecating.
With
tone.
Your ex? Your
yeah,
ex
my
helped
ex.
You, right?
Yes.
You're such a lesbian.
I know.
Oh, yep. It wasn't that ex, though, that she...
A different ex. But that's what we do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a tough email to write,
very tough.
Hey, I blew it.
Yep.
I was try again.
I was really dumb. But I remember the reason I did it was because I was very upset that yet another relationship hadn't kind of turned out the way I'd wanted. And I remember being in my friend Leah and Elizabeth lived around the corner from me on the Upper West Side. And I remember being in their living room and crying. And I'm like, and the one thing I'm really upset is I never met that woman, Lisa. And so then I was like, well, I can't get back the last however many months of my life, but I could potentially still meet Lisa. So
there you go.
Yeah. So,
and now here we are.
And it was really lovely. It's, I think the email where she dumped me actually showed so much character on her part that I still liked her.
So, she won me over with the email.
Yeah. I mean, Robin was the first person I sent
it
to.
I'm a tough critic.
And so I said, sure.
And then didn't you see us on the street on our first date?
No, it wasn't our first.
It was like pretty early.
It was our third.
She was in a cab and she shouted out. It was like,
we were on 8th Avenue. I lived in Chelsea.
We drove by them in a cab and I leaned out the window, rolled down the window and shouted out, hey, Lezzies! It was like someone was about to. Probably wasn't nice in hindsight.
It was in Chelsea though, so I think we were just more confused than anything. Like, what?
Yeah. That I think was our third date.
And in terms of our relationship,
you talk over.
Now it's 15 years later.
Yeah. I think Lisa's also the nice one. I'm more of the like moody, semi introverted, like. Impatient one.
Dare I say a tad high strung?
High strung as well. Although I've gotten way more mellow.
You sure have.
Therapy. Oh, speaking of which, you can edit this out. I forgot to take my medication.
I don't think we're going to edit that out. Just kidding.
Well, we're glad you guys are here. And we obviously, two ladies, you have a son.
We do.
We do.
And we want to talk a little bit about being that this is a a non-traditional family podcast, fertility focused sometimes. We want to hear about, like, how, tell us about your experience in making Devin.
Yeah, well, first of all, wait, how old is Devin?
Oh, good question.
6 and a half.
Oh, he's 6 and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this was a little while ago.
Yeah, we bought him on the black market.
No.
The dark web.
So this is a really special episode, guys. Yeah. No, that's not true.
So we.
I know, that'd be a really good episode.
We had a bunch of starts and stops. Mm-hmm. I would say from when we actively started trying to get pregnant to when we actually got pregnant was a full year. Mm-hmm. But we had had a kind of mentally getting ready to start getting pregnant. And then
I didn't want
to
have a kid.
Yeah.
So you did. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't want to have a kid, period.
So the closer I started to get to 40... I always wanted kids, and then the closer I was getting to 40, something shifted in my brain, and I no longer was certain that I wanted to have children.
Uh-huh.
Jennifer's sister was pregnant at this time, Robin was pregnant at this time, and Jennifer was like, chop, chop, when are we having a baby? When are we going to talk about this?
I think it was actually earlier than them getting pregnant or Michelle getting pregnant, actually.
It was all around the same time.
So you don't know if you want kids, but you kind of come around to it?
This was, in my late
30s. She didn't just come around. We had to go to therapy.
Yes.
Oh. Because you really wanted them, Jennifer.
Yeah, the way I said it to her at the time and what I still think is that it's one of life's great experiences and that
sometimes.
And one of life's terrible
experiences. She said experience. She didn't say joys.
Yes. And I didn't mean great as in great versus terrible. I mean great as in like awesome.
Yes.
Like
as in the true
huge,
meaning of awesome.
Yeah. And I felt like I didn't want to live my life without that experience being part of it.
And it was something we had discussed early on in our relationship.
Yeah.
I mean, we were like 4 years in at this point.
Yeah, so we had kind of cleared this up way at the beginning. Like, oh, do you want to have kids? Yes, I want to have kids. Okay, good. And like, put it to the side.
So this was a bit of a curveball when I was like, I don't know.
Yeah, so Lisa was really unsure. And I was like, I think that if you don't want to have kids, we might not be able to like continue the relationship. And there was no question that we wanted to spend the rest of our lives together. Like, she was my person. So to even be thinking that.
That's sweet.
So we went to a couples therapist and had probably for a few months, right? 3 months maybe?
A little bit longer.
Yeah. And talked through a lot of stuff and I think, got to the point where Lisa was feeling ready. And then, so we went to couples therapy probably for 3 or 4 months and, like worked through a lot of things, particularly I think around Lisa's mother's early death. So Lisa's mom had had cancer when she was a kid, and as we were getting closer to thinking about having kids, it seemed like that was like the idea of potentially having cancer and abandoning our children was unconsciously heavy for Lisa. So we kind of talked about that a lot more explicitly.
Essentially, I was subconsciously, of course, but maybe a little more forward in the frontal lobe. I've always been afraid of getting cancer and dying young and leaving a child behind. And lo and behold.
So wait. So we're like, it's going to be our last appointment.
Literally our last appointment with
and
the
Lisa
therapist.
Had, Lisa
it's
had,
a Monday.
Yeah. And Lisa had
it's
gone.
It's a Monday.
Lisa had gone to the gynecologist for like a checkup, some bleeding. And the gynecologist was like, given your family history, let me just do a little biopsy. So I think the day of our last appointment with the couples therapist, we found out that
she had two weeks later.
Yeah, so she had endometrial cancer.
Oh my God.
And so we talked about that at our last appointment with the couples therapist.
Yeah, even like, a therapist was surprised. Yeah. She was like,
because we had been talking so much about Lisa's fear that she would get cancer and die. And then, like, she got cancer.
Oh, my goodness. Like, and you just decided you want to have a kid.
Yeah, we were ready. Yeah. We were like, let's get online. Let's pick some sperm.
I will
say this.
We didn't have that debate that some couples have about who should get pregnant. So that was...
You
that
knew was it was always going to be
It was always going to be me.
Yeah. Wait, it was always going to be you just because?
Well, I was a little long in the tooth.
Yeah, Lisa was older, but also with her family history, because it wasn't her sister had breast cancer, her mother had died, her uncle had died. I mean, it just kind of felt like... Now, my dad also died of cancer, but it was less. Fewer people.
We had less of the cancer.
Yeah.
And so you knew it was going to be you, so that wasn't an issue. Right. But then this cancer, cog in the wheel.
So meanwhile, Robin's getting pregnant, my sister's getting pregnant.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. So Lisa was in the hospital and had a hysterectomy while all our other friends were pregnant, which is like, you know, kind of, like
it was
major mental dissonance. And this was also like the very beginning of Facebook. So everyone was like posting pictures of their, like, you know, here's my like ultrasound picture and so Lisa had the surgery, and then it turned out that she had like one lymph node with like a microscopic trace of malignancy, and so rather than just being done after the hysterectomy, she had to do radiation and chemotherapy. So then she was sick for basically like a whole year from that, and so we were just kind of waiting to get for that to be over and get the clean bill of health before we started trying to get pregnant again.
So that was tough.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, I think we were both more focused on my health.
Yeah.
And, you know, that we shelved it for a little bit.
Did you, could I ask, did you have any feelings of, like the nagging, like,
it was a little hard because I have this, I have this identical twin sister, and she was pregnant at the time, so that was...
Oh, my God. Talk about seeing yourself pregnant.
Yeah, yeah. And she was very... She had a very physically challenging pregnancy, and so she was very miserable, and there were times I just kind of wanted to, like, shake her and be like...
Nobody has cancer.
Yeah.
And you're having a baby.
Yeah. I mean, but she had really, really terrible morning sickness and all this. So it was a very physically uncomfortable pregnancy. So, and I remember one time when I was walking with her to the subway, and she was like, you know, 8 or 9 months pregnant, walking really slow. And meanwhile, Lisa had been doing radiation and chemo, and she was walking really slow. I was like, is there anyone in my life who can walk at a normal speed? And she was great. Like, I remember her coming over and, like, you know, doing all our laundry one weekend. So, like, she was, my mom came for a week. This was when my mom lived in Boston, and she cooked and cleaned for us for a week. Like, she basically just did laundry, dishes, and prepared food.
That's amazing.
Yeah. It was really, really exactly what we needed. So So yeah, it was weird and hard, and but mostly I was just like wanted Lisa to be well, and it was really hard watching someone that I loved be so sick, and also because my father had also had cancer when I was 19. So there were just a lot of, like, it brought up a lot of stuff for me. There was just, I remember Lisa sitting on the couch once, and she had this kind of gray look on her face during chemo, and I was like, oh my God, that's what my dad used to look like. There's just something about what chemo does to your body. I don't know. But it was just a stoniness in the face and a level of fatigue and with all the hair missing that is just, I wouldn't have been able to describe it except seeing it again. It's like, oh. So there was just a lot.
How do you make a right turn out of that into now seems like a really great time to bring a family into the world, like a baby?
Well, it was also just like, come on, can we get on with our lives?
Yeah. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
You want to like embrace life.
Yes.
And
so did you have to be, Lisa, did you have to be the one to say it? Or was it a discussion
together?
No,
I think we were both. I was still on board. It's sort of like when your worst fear comes true.
Right.
You're able to move on. Right. It's always the not knowing, you know. Mm-hmm. So sort of it's not worse. Knowing if I'm going to get cancer or.
So it's like, oh, so this is what having cancer
is
like.
Yeah, so it happened. I got sick. I got better. And then we were ready to move on.
We didn't start as, because my twin sister, identical twin sister had gotten pregnant like immediately the first month she tried. So I had no expectations of having any problems.
By the way, trying in the traditional sense.
She's with her husband.
It's not like she did an IUI or.
Yeah. It turned out, so we did kind of the ovulation kit, nurse, midwife thing for a few months, and that didn't work, and then we went to a fertility clinic, like one of the big ones, and I briefly got pregnant.
By the way, more depressing
than
Sloan Kettering.
The fertility clinic.
Oh my God. The waiting room at the fertility clinic is about 100 times heavier and more depressing than the waiting room at Sloan Kettering, for sure.
It's true.
It's funny because I recall walking in and just seeing all these like sad 40-something, like you knew they used to be SVPs and they went for that SVP title, and then all of a sudden they were like, oh shit, my eggs are getting dusty, and they were all in there just like crying, and I was like, what's everybody crying about? So I got like pregnant the first time, and then when I had the miscarriage and I was coming out, I was like sobbing, and I was I get it now.
Yeah.
Move over.
And like three dudes like just trying to crawl into their BlackBerry at the time, just like.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
So we did two IUIs at the midwife. Then we went to the fertility clinic. We did one IUI. I got pregnant, but it just didn't really take. Mm-hmm. Had a miscarriage at work. The ambulance had to come and take me to the hospital.
And Robin.
I was
on a business trip. I landed in Phoenix, and I turned on my phone to call Jennifer, who was actually in the throes of a miscarriage. Jennifer had been working in New Jersey that day, and I called Robin. I asked her to take a car service.
Yeah, like a true New Yorker, I took a car service to New Jersey.
If she can get out to New Jersey and see what's happening. I was so helpless, and I didn't know what to do.
Yeah. So you're in the throes of a miscarriage.
Right.
You're writhing on the floor.
Yeah, so then the ambulance came. Someone at work called an ambulance, and they took me to Hackensack Medical Center, a very good hospital in New Jersey, where they treated me very well.
They were very nice there.
Yes, and someone from work came with me, a woman who I'm good friends with to this day, and then Robin came, and so the woman from work went.
And yeah, so then everyone at work knew I was trying to get pregnant.
I guess so. Well, knew that you were pregnant.
Yeah, but that...
And that.
And then not. But I hadn't been before that. So now they're like, oh, I guess we're going to be planning for maternity leave for Jennifer at some point.
Right.
But maybe, not for a long time.
Maybe let's not talk about that now. Yeah. So, okay. So then you waited so a bit. Then
talk... Wait, I'm sorry. Talk about the emotional... Emotionality, is that a word, of the miscarriage?
Emotions.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, just, talk a little about that because
that's
we
like the word
really...
commentating as opposed to commenting.
You're right. Yeah.
Right. Like
talk about the emotions, because we haven't really talked about miscarriage as much on our podcast.
Well, I think so. If you were to talk to someone who like had a miscarriage a little later on, where they had like seen a heartbeat, and you know. Or even, you know, had a real ultrasound, stuff like that, I think would be even harder. For me, it was more about the disappointment of still not being pregnant. So it and the fact that after the miscarriage, you have to, like, skip a month before you try to get mm-hmm. pregnant again. Mm-hmm. So it was just like, one more thing. Are you freaking kidding me?
I mean, you had to feel, like, a little bit like, why, God? Like,
yeah.
Just like all the, like, your family was being heaped upon.
Yes. Right. It just felt like, could something go easily?
Right.
But I don't think I had that kind of grief for a particular child. I don't ever think about that child as a potential child that we could have had.
Okay.
So from that perspective, I think it's a little different than someone who has, like, a miscarriage later. Mm-hmm. On in the pregnancy. So we ran out of our first sperm donor at this point. And then we started at the smaller clinic and we had like our first consultation. Are we there for the first consultation?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. No. Our first appointment there, Lisa had just...
No, that wasn't our first.
Okay.
I think we were like well into it. It was our
right. So maybe we had tried 1 month and then and had a bunch of diagnostic tests and everything else. And then Lisa had a colonoscopy and it turned out she had colon cancer.
By the way, the fact that you're laughing is amazing.
Oh my God.
So Lisa has a genetic disorder that makes her likely to get these two cancers, endometrial and
just
colon cancer.
Just these two?
No, there's more.
Oh, no, there's a host.
But these are the
there's
two
a
that
host
are,
of them.
These are the two that are most common. So, and her mother, Lisa's mother, died of colon cancer. So we knew that it was potential. So meanwhile, we're like, well, you know, screw this. We're not waiting for another cancer.
I find that to be miraculous.
Wait, so you kept going?
We kept going.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, it was like, I had known about the genetic disorder when I was diagnosed with my first cancer. And I mean, it's something that I have no control over. So at this point, when I was diagnosed with the second, like life is going to happen. I had made peace that should something happen to me, I'm not leaving a child alone with my father, basically. Mm-hmm. My partner is Jennifer, and everything will be okay. You know, no matter what happens, everything will be okay. So, we decided to just move forward.
So the night before Lisa went in for surgery for her colon cancer, we had to pick out a new sperm donor.
Oh, my God.
Pack my bag for colon cancer surgery.
He looks good.
Pick out this dude.
Fine.
Well, so at this
you're
point,
really
hopped
checking
up on Xanax.
Their medical background
yeah,
at this point,
seriously,
too, right?
The,
is there colon cancer? No, is there colon cancer?
Heart disease
I mean,
and cancer, they were out, like not even, we would not even consider it for a second.
Right. But the sperm bank also is... They don't even have.
Depends on the ethnicity, though. So this was when we gave up the idea of a Jewish donor.
Yeah.
Because
bye-bye, Jews.
If you
we need to
mix up the genetic pool. So we
that's how I ended up in this mess to begin with.
Yeah. So we picked him, and Lisa went in to have surgery, and then I kept going to the clinic, and Lisa recovered from surgery, and then I got pregnant, and Lisa was still recovering because it turns out like. Very hard for your body to adjust to not having a colon. So I had morning sickness and Lisa could barely eat either. And she had, I just want to let
I
you
was
all
skinny.
Know, Lisa had I promised me the first time she had cancer that although I was taking care of her, that when I was pregnant, she would take care of me. It would be my
not so
turn.
Much.
Not so much. So she didn't.
Oh,
way to steal that thunder.
Yes, I do. I'm sorry. I had, I had my father was dying from dementia.
Right. So Lisa was recovering from no longer having a colon. Her father had dementia, and I was pregnant, and all I wanted was for someone to cook for me. Oh, God. And Lisa was like, no.
My father called me in. He didn't know that I was. He didn't know I had cancer.
The second time,
and he called me in the hospital. He lived in Brooklyn, and
he asked her to come out.
He
to Brooklyn.
Said, "Can you come over?" And I said, "I'm sorry. I was 2 days out of a
she
total
was
colectomy.
A,
with
she
my
was lying
belly
in a hospital bed it, with an IV." And he was like, "What's so important in Manhattan?"
Right.
My colon.
So that was the beginning.
It was quite a time.
Yeah.
Fortunately, my sister, I think, was at the hospital at the
and
time.
She went
to deal with him.
Did
so.
You tell him eventually?
No. He had at that point.
He didn't
we
even
realized,
know I was pregnant.
Well, at that point, we realized the dementia was just getting worse and worse. It had just started, basically, it was. It coincided with Jennifer becoming pregnant and lasted her entire pregnancy. And he died 12 days after our son was born. So it was
a hard year. Yeah.
We are depressing.
I know.
But then you had that baby.
Yeah, and he's super cute.
So we had that, yeah.
I want to, for our last little bit, I'd like to talk a little bit about you guys. Actually go on vacations and hang out and are in touch with the other families who had kids by your donor.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Like, do you call them siblings? Do you hang? Tell us about that whole experience.
I call them siblings. They are our son's siblings, uh-huh. So that's what I call them. The way that happened was on the sperm bank has a donor sibling sibling registry. Mm-hmm. And when our son was born, we registered, and someone who had already given birth with the same donor had put a message on that board, because it only pertains to that one donor, mm-hmm. that they started a closed secret Facebook page, and anyone who wanted to join, come on over. And that's what we did. And
I completely ripped you guys off and did the same thing for both of, because my kids have different donors, and set up secret Facebook groups because you guys had that idea. So fantastic.
Yeah. And, yeah. You know, so we...
It started when they were babies.
Yeah. And we slowly became... We got to know each other a little bit on Facebook. And then we're spread out all over the country. And over time, we started to meet up with some people. There's a family in Philadelphia. There was one other family in New York.
Although she moved.
Yeah. So.
And then I think we have a few sort of like social hub type people among the mm-hmm. parents.
Yeah.
And that has. So then they generated this idea of, oh, let's all go on vacation together. And so we went to Club Med in Florida. When the oldest kids were 4, and I think we were all really
yeah,
nervous.
They were all born the same year.
Yeah.
So it
right.
was like,
they get retired.
Like every
right.
month. Yeah.
Yeah.
How many are there? Can I ask that?
We think counted. There's about 18.
Or 20.
And yeah, they're all yeah. in the group or no?
No.
No, they're not. There are, most are, we think there are one or two that are not.
Not at all.
And I've actually managed to identify them.
Of course you have. Of course you have.
Because Lisa has a second career in her as a private investigator.
I'm
so
a sleuth. That's yes. her retirement career.
Yeah.
What,
like
what's
my
the
wife.
Makeup
Same
of
thing.
What's the makeup of the other
it's like,
people?
Mm. It's
the
like
gays,
two,
singles.
Three lesbian, four lesbian,
all the couples.
Five lesbian, six lesbian couples. Oh my
Anna
God.
Partridge.
There's six lesbian couples in the rest are single moms. But
single
two
moms,
of the
yeah.
single moms are lesbians.
Oh.
And the rest are straight. So it's mostly, so when you go on vacation, it turned out.
It's all ladies.
Yeah, well, it is all ladies. But it also turned out it was like a whole bunch of families who are kind of in the same phase of their lives, right?
Right.
It's like families who all have kids the same age and who all got pregnant the same way. And at our.
And we all pick the same donor. So we have some. I mean, there's some similarities amongst us
and
if we're all attracted to the same
donor. And all have something in common.
Yeah,
yes.
And they all liked each other right away. So,
do any of them look alike?
Yes, many of them look alike, but not our son. Our son does not look like any of them.
Your son looks exactly like you.
Yes.
He's very Semitic looking.
I think the donor is a little more, has like more recessive physical traits. So the kids do tend to look a little more like their parents, but some of them, there's definitely some similarities. But it's not as much as you see with some other donors. So we all went on vacation. It was so fun. We just all liked each other. We had such a good time. Wow. And so then
I would have been so nervous for this.
We were nervous. We were nervous.
We were.
And then
we did it again.
We did it again 2 years later. And now I don't know what happened. We started planning the next one for another 2 years hence. And somehow it became, let's just do it this summer. So now we're going to go on vacation 2 years in a row with these folks.
I mean, I love it. I think it's a very rich part of this experience.
That's interesting because Anne and I are nervous about, we registered bros because we had to find more sperm. But we haven't connected with anyone yet. We connected with the people who said they might have sperm, but since then we haven't done anything about it.
It's been really rich. And people think it's strange from the outside, but it
doesn't feel that way.
It does not feel strange, and it's like the more people and the more connections that you have in this world where we're all so alienated from each other, it's like, why wouldn't you want that? And yes, I get that the relationship is like not one where we have a template that everyone's familiar with, but I think the next generation will have a template. And I should also mention that like my cousin Emma had this, she's, her moms are lesbians and she's part of like kind of that first generation of parents of sperm
donor conceived
children. And she has no idea who she is on that half of her genetically. She doesn't know, she doesn't have a way of finding out. And we were both able to talk to her. She was in her 20s, late 20s, mid 20s when we were planning all of this. And we were able to talk to her about that. And that's part of why we chose a known donor. And part of why we think that the relationships with the other siblings is really important. And we feel really lucky that we were able to kind of like learn from the previous generation. And I think
it's also something our son knows about this now. He's met 80% of his siblings. And
so he won't accidentally marry any of them?
Well,
we all worry about that. Let's face it.
But it's not, I was so concerned. I was so worried. How are we going to explain this? Mm-hmm. And when are we going to explain it? And I think that first year we went on vacation when he was four, we just put it out there. You know, these people are your brothers and sisters. And
you say brothers and sisters?
We do, yeah. And
Lisa does, I don't.
It's, but it was very seamless. Yeah. And, you know, children don't ask anything more than they're ready to know. Yep. So he just accepted it. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think he, at this point, he knows that it's different. He doesn't live with them, and he sees other families where brothers and sisters live together. So he hasn't really started asking a lot of questions yet, but he knows that his situation is somewhat unique.
Yeah.
But it's out there now. And
it's special. Yeah. I think it's really special.
Definitely.
It's a great story.
It is.
Explained it really well, too. I love it.
And thank you guys for sharing it. I mean, it's like you can't say that you didn't go through it to create this family. I mean,
and we know so many people who got, you know, they bought like 3 vials and.
I know.
Or Robin. Like Robin.
Super annoying. Although I do like that you had to fly to Colombia.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I forgot about that.
Listen, guys, I had a road too.
Everybody has a road.
Nobody got cancer or anything, but geez. Yeah. All right. Thank you guys
so much for coming in.
This was fantastic.
It was our pleasure.
Well, that was great.
Wow. That's a story.
That was a great story. That was, a full and rich story.
But I loved what you said about, you know, it's just like, we have to really work hard. And those guys, I mean, that was like, that's more than working hard.
We don't get pregnant by accident.
Exactly.
That's what it is. We don't. We put a lot of work into this.
And that was a heavy story. But, you know, I mean, I think so fascinating the stuff with, like, that they're in touch with the families.
Yes.
And the, I mean, that's, like, great stuff.
I mean, I'm going to play this episode for Anne and because they've inspired me to.
I was going to say, does that make you want to maybe?
I'm thinking deeper into it, getting to know the siblings. Yeah, I don't know. It was just nice to hear. It was refreshing to hear that they have such a good experience with it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I feel like, you know, I'm sure that there's other people, our listeners, who have these kinds of like really incredible stories. And yeah. I'd like to hear some of them.
Yes, please. Please share your stories. We're always open to new stories. Write them down. Tell them to us.
Should they write them, send us like old fashioned letters?
Please send us cards.
We don't have an address, Jamie. How about they just use the social?
I love it. Tell them what it is.
Okay. They can get us on Twitter at Ovaries Talk or on the Facebook at If These Ovaries Could Talk.
The Book of the Face.
Ooh, that was impressive.
Oh, yeah, I love it.
All right, so reach out to us. Share your stories. Like, we want to hear more.
We love it. We love it all. And we love you guys.
Oh, we do. We really do. Thanks for being with us.
Without further ado.
Eggs.
Ovaries.
Out.
Shop Macy's VIP sale. Going on now. Use your coupon or Macy's card and take an extra 30% off the latest fall trends from designers that rarely go on sale. And save 15% off skincare, makeup, fragrances, and more. Plus, shop fall specials for even more great deals on top brands at Macy's. Savings off regular and already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.